today is the double 12, 12 December 2021, and it's a Sunday. So we will be continuing from our fourth lesson of the Six Periods Platform Sutra Share. We are at page 42. Okay, you can now pay respect to Pajam, then you can be seated. Okay, we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 42 of this transcript book. Fourth lesson of the Six Periods Platform Sutra. This is the sutra sharing based on the direct transcript from the recorded tapes dated 19 September 2015. Okay. You don't have the book, you refer to the computer sharing screen. We have pinned the soft copy on the book. Okay. We will continue. As you reflect, contemplate, and cultivate all this understanding, it will stabilize and become more and more clear to you. So cultivation is based on understanding. So to understand, you need to go through the three turnings. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the first one is during the time of the Buddha, of course, is only listening. Sutta-maya-panya, that wisdom that arises through listening to the sutta, which are the discourse of the Buddha. So listening is the first turning. If through listening you can penetrate, means you have your past cultivation, you have the base to receive truth. Then apart from that, nowadays, because of advancement in our civilization, we are able to have language, we are able to have printed media, books and all those things. Even now with the internet, the computers, you can have PDF file, ebook, soft copy, everything. So apart from listening, you can also go through reading or re-listening to the audio file and the video file. So all this has become possible. So the first turning wisdom can be actually more easily developed, like constantly listening to the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha or the Sutta, the true Dhamma. So all this, if you know how to screen through the internet, stream through the internet, then you can actually get those very good sharing, audio and video sharing. Then you can also have the internet, the Google or whatever search engine to search for the appropriate file that has the true teaching. Because nowadays there are a lot of things in the internet. Not all are authentic. Not all are appropriate in its translation. So you have to screen through. You have to develop understanding from people who has awakened to guide you. Then after you have listened or read about it, you have to go on to the next step. The Buddha called it the second turning wisdom. Second turning wisdom is Chintamaya-panya, means you have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into all the sutta, discourse of the Buddha, the essential Dhamma, everything that the Buddha had taught us. So when you start to reflect, contemplate, and inquire, you will develop more stable understanding. That's why you can assimilate what you have heard and what you have studied or read about. When you contemplate, reflect, and inquire, you develop clarity and stability of what has been shared. So people who are not so sharp with the past special ability or faculties, you cannot receive truth so fast. You need the second turning to stabilize the understanding. So here, when I say, as you reflect, contemplate, and cultivate all this understanding, they will stabilize and become more and more clear to you. That is the second turning wisdom that you must do. Yeah. Then I will read on. Huh? Then one day, all of a sudden, you will understand. And it's like the whole thing has been understood and become like so clear. Then your life become different. The true Dhamma transform you completely, inwardly and outwardly. If it's not the true Dhamma, it remains as knowledge in your memory, in your brain, in your consciousness. But if it's true Dhamma, this wisdom will stay in your nature. It will be connected to your form and mind. But this wisdom, after it has awakened, will stay with your nature until that form and mind pass away or realize parinibbana. So this aspect is very important. Then I will read on. Then your life become very different. Then when you live life, even in the midst of life, every moment you see something, hear something, or smell something, even while at home, you cannot react like before. Your mind cannot stir like before. You have become very different. The inside of you will know how come now is like that. Last time, when anything happened to your loved one, you panic straight away like anything. You worry like anything. But now it looks like nothing happened. Then you will know what needs to be done will be done. You will not lament anymore. You will not panic anymore. You will not develop the unnecessary fear, worry, and anxiety anymore. So all this become possible. Then you will just say, it's okay, never mind. Let us resolve it. No more like last time. Panic here and there, fearful and confused straight away. That's why the true Dhamma awakens the individual. So character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise will develop and you will become different. That's why the transformation is real. It's from within, through an understanding, through an awakening. That is what the living Dhamma is all about. It is not about knowledge. It is the realization, the insight, the penetrative awakening. Once it's there, it will always be there. It will not be forgotten because it's connected to the form and mind. It's within your nature. The nature that awakened to it will have the understanding. So you don't have to remember anything. Don't have to commit to memory because wisdom is an awakening. It's not a knowledge where you learn through the thought process, where you memorize it and commit as knowledge. That's why a lot of people fail to understand this. So the thought can never awaken to truth because thought itself is limited. Thought as an instrument cannot realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond time. So the true understanding of Dhamma cultivation is very important. That's why your instrument must be sati, or mindfulness, or awareness, which is silent, stillness, awareness, tranquility, clarity. From your self nature, you cultivate so that it can awaken So all this understanding is very useful, very important. Okay, then I will read on. Huh? Then I think there is a question by Sister Ingby. Bertil, last Thursday while I was driving home from my office, while still driving, don't know whether there is an understanding or what, it just cropped up. Bertil always said, this body and mind of ours is a karmically conditioned form and mind for us to use. So use it wisely. Do not be deceived by it. In fact, the fifth patriarch also advised cleaning in a similar way. The only difference is he didn't explain that the form and mind is a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this world. That part is missing. But the fifth page here did point out to Hui Ning. He said, although there is a mundane mind, this mundane mind has its purpose, has its use. That's why you have to understand it so that you know how to use it and yet not deceive by it or not deluded by it. So this understanding straight away trigger great awakening to Hui Ning. So Hui Ning suddenly got the whole picture linked up because he couldn't understand all this before that. The reason is he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he doesn't know that normal human being has a mundane mind. But his mind was already like that. His mind is that transformed nature, that true mind, that pure mind. That's why that one doesn't dwell. And he knows that profound Dhamma. That's why when he heard the Diamond Sutta on the path, the mind must have no dwelling. He came to great awakening because his mind was already in that way. It's already such. Although he's an illiterate, he didn't go to school. He didn't have formal education. And yet, his nature awakened to it, because that is what he is. Then when the fifth patriarch told him about the mind, because this mundane mind, or what we call the supramundane mind for Hui Ning's case, when we arise in the world, we need to use them. And yet not deceived by it. So that completes the whole of the understanding that Hui Ning need. That's why from there he was full of joy. He said, how amazing that this self nature of ours, true nature of ours, is already complete by itself. And how amazing that all Dhamma arise from this nature. That's why he starts to understand all the teaching. Nothing is apart from that nature, that oneness nature, that true nature, the original nature. So from there, like the Buddha explained, all of the amazing wonders of life and nature, they arise. One wu. So all this understanding develops and stabilizes. So he understood straight away why the sutta said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. Then nothing is apart from that self nature. All Dhamma arise from that self nature. So from there, he understood the whole thing, the whole big picture is being realized and awakened to. That's why the fifth patriarch transmit him the patriarchship and make him the sixth patriarch. So at that time, they need to transmit the rope and the bat or the insignia as proof that he is the authentic recipient. Apart from the mind to mind transmission, because when fifth patriarch told him to meet him in the middle of the night, that night, he knew Kuei Ning was ready because his understanding was already there. So he just go through the diamond sutra with him and covered that part, which is very important that Kuei Ning need to understand so that he can connect and receive the full understanding of the whole picture. So that's the sutra part. Yeah? So we come back to the sharing. Yeah? Then I say, yes, sadhu. Mm. Then Sister Yingbi continue. This part is very good. Huh? You must listen to this and develop understanding. Well, most people don't contemplate, don't reflect. They listen to the Dhamma. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to apply it. They don't see the great significance of this sutta, this understanding. So when I said, this form and mind, or the so-called human being, is just a condition, arising phenomenon, a karmically conditioned form and mind, for us to come to this existential world, to live life. This one is very important. Therefore, understand that it is not you, because this one is impermanent. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Therefore, it's impermanent. If you attach and cling, one thing is your way, you suffer. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty nature. So all this, you must penetrate to realize it. Then like the fifth patriarch told Kuei Ning, even though it's unreal, even though it's impermanent, not you, but it is connected to you because karmically it's linked. That's why it's karmically conditional for us to come. So having understood this, we must know how to use it, and yet not be deceived by it and deluded by it. That's why the law of karma come in, the right view come in. So even though it's not me, not you, not a permanent unchanging entity, but it doesn't mean you can do anything you like, because this one, the form and mind, is subject to karma. You like it or not, you cannot simply do things. There is this law of karma that it is subject to. So if you know it's subject to the law of karma, you must not simply become heedless and do all the wrong things so that karmically you will fall. You will get yourself into trouble. You entangle your life. So what must you do? You must perform your duty as a human being. Your relationship with all things. Because this law recognizes relationship, recognizes the law of karma, which means you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why in Mandarin is even more meaningful. 种因结果, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. 那么施主千万不要种错因结错果， means do not plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That is the law of karma. That's why in the salutation to the Sangha has four unique characteristics of good conduct. Is the order of the disciple of the enlightened one or the fully enlightened one, the Buddha. And of upright conduct, that is the second virtue, is the order of disciple of the Buddha. Then of wise conduct, they are very wise. They conduct themselves with wisdom wisely. It's the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the last one, the reason why the Buddha said of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Means samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho. Why did he say of right duty? Of right duty, dutiful conduct is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. But they know this form and mind is subject to karma. They will do their duty in accordance. That's why this teaching is very different. It teaches you how to develop the wisdom and the understanding to live life. So because of that, Sister Ingby at that time contemplated and he know how to develop the understanding of it and share this, which is very good, very beautiful. So I will read through. Hopefully you can develop the understanding. Sister Ingby said, I was driving. So, okay. And let's say this car is my body. Well, I give the analogy of the car and the driver compared to our body and the mind as the driver. And this driver, which is driving, it is the mind controlling the car. So I won't be so foolish as to drive recklessly to cause harm or accident to anyone or to myself. So in a similar way, I should use this body and mind heedfully, ever mindfully, carefully, so as to not harm myself and not harm others. So by this analogy, while I live life, this body and mind should not harm others and myself. I even share this with Sister Lily during Yun Chan's house dana at that time. She was also very happy and commented, yeah, definitely, we won't use the car to know others. So this one is very easy to understand when you have reflected on it and contemplated on it. But in real life, you check. Human being who doesn't understand this, they are really, really heedless. And at times, very foolish, very daring, especially youngster. They like do not see the danger. They do not value their life in the name of what? Excitement, thrill. Maybe they are second generation kid. They have the means, the money, the parents are rich. They bought them very nice sports car, nice car. Then they like to drink. They like to take intoxicants, sometimes even drugs, alcohol, liquor, and all these things. So what happened is, this is living a heedless life without understanding the Dhamma, without having clarity of precepts, the importance of precepts to prevent one from committing evil. Because these precepts are very important. The reason why the Buddha introduced it is, if you don't abide by these five precepts, which is the basic minimum for living being, then when you violate them, you commit major evil, not just evil, major evil. And the fifth precept, when you partake intoxicant, it will condition your consciousness to be affected. And once your consciousness is affected, you can actually become heedless and break all the other four precepts. That's why it's very, very serious. These are major evils. So precepts are given out of love and compassion for us to avoid all evil. Otherwise, you will entangle yourself. That's why the first aspect of cultivation is sila, morality. Without sila, there is no cultivation. Sila is abstaining. And to practice sila, or to cultivate sila, or to maintain sila, you need understanding and mindfulness. And without sila, you create a lot of condition for your mind to have problem, to have the mental hindrance, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all this is a result of living the heedless life, breaking the precept. Then you get yourself entangled with the law, with your relationship with others whom you have cheated, harm, hurt, and murder, or deceive. So a lot of these are linked to prison. Even the fifth prison. If you drive under intoxicant influence of alcohol or drugs, all this can bring about heedlessness that lead to major accident. You not only harm yourself, you also harm others. Then sometimes the accident can be so severe it causes death, multiple death. Then that time the law catches up with you. Your parents also suffer because of what you did. And you wasted your whole life and career just because of that thrill, that fun. That's why certain things we need to develop understanding. If it's dangerous, leads to downfall, it's better for us to keep away from it. So these are the understanding that we need to develop. But if you don't listen to the Dhamma, you don't contemplate, don't reflect, you don't value all this. That's why when we were young, most of us are quite heedless and quite foolish. We actually did a lot of things that we are not aware of. Like when I was young, very young, before the age of 10. Because small town, we don't have really, in the 50s and the 60s, we are still very backward. So hardly do you see any swimming pool. So when you have a pond or a river, you will be excited. And a lot of people go in and swim in the river, swim in the pool. So you will become curious and you will join them and try. And actually, I almost died. I almost drowned. Then because of my good affinity, Kuan Yin. That's why I was saved. After that, I never go back to that swimming. After that incident, the experience that showed to me the danger of all this, I actually stopped. At the age of 8, I stopped going to the river to swim. And later on, when I want to learn swimming, I make sure there are proper swimming pools. So that's where I develop understanding. So after you have either experienced life or heard the Dhamma, understood the Dhamma, then reflect and contemplate, just like what Ingby did, and realize the importance of heedfulness to avoid heedless living, so that we will be very appreciative of this form of mind. We will use it with understanding. we are not deludedly grasp and cling on to it and worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. We will develop the understanding of this form and mind to do its duty, perform its right duty towards all things that have relationship with this form and mind. Then through all this understanding, we know if this is a car and a vehicle, that if the mind is not trained, then it becomes heedless. It dare to break the traffic rule. Red light also, it will try to rush. The wundang or the law that we learn is when you see yellow light ready to stop, then red light stop. But for us, when we were young, we were curious. We tried to beat the traffic light. So all these are very dangerous actions. It's not worth it. How much faster can it be that few seconds? But the risk we are taking is not worth it. So sometimes it's better to slow down, to pause, to stop. Then we call it the skillful, tactful driving. So this type of driving is not to be right. It's to be what we call, there's a word for it already. Like you prevent yourself from unnecessary condition to get into trouble, or to avoid unnecessary accident and all those things. So you drive tactfully, to avoid all this. Not try to be right. Not just believe that because you are right, then you don't want to give way. I forgot the word already. What type of driving is that? I used to tell my wife last time. Not only preventive. There's a word which is very good. never mind. When I remember, I share with you. So, you have to be really tactful. Then not only developing the understanding to protect ourselves, by doing so, we also protect others. We become heedful. When we become heedful, we will not make mistakes. So all this understanding is very useful for us to apply when we go through life. So these are the Dhamma that you need to awaken to, that will transform you and change you forever. You will not do all those foolish things, heedless things anymore. So this part, hope you can make a note. Then I go on to the next part. Then I explain by telling Ingby. This is what can happen when you know how to reflect and contemplate appropriately on the Dhamma. It becomes very clear. Do you know how I was able to share with you all this about the car and the driver analogy? I reflected and contemplated on it during one of my retreats about 30 plus years ago. So now it's already 6 years later, maybe 36 plus years ago. After the retreat, all of a sudden, I became so still, my mind, so quiet and so silent. Then I was just sitting around there reflecting while they were reporting their meditation. For me, it was not important whether I report or I don't report the meditation. So I just reflected. And I understood so beautifully the car and the driver analogy. That's how I developed the understanding. How come living being cannot see? If it's a car and a driver, you can see very clearly, isn't it? ability to control doesn't mean you own the car or you are the car. The car, you also can control. If you want to drive fast, you can. If you want to brake, to turn, and to maneuver in whatever manner, you can. But it's only within the limits of its design. Do you understand? Whatever the car is designed for, you can have certain amount of control and ability to maneuver it. But beyond that, you can't. You can't ask the car to levitate and fly. The technology is not there yet. It cannot be done at the moment. Like this body, you want it to levitate and fly, but the technology is not there yet. Unless you develop psychic ability, then it's different. So in a similar way, you must know the limitation of the form and mind too. Then you will come to understand exactly like what Sister Ingby has gone through. So all this understanding is very important. If the driver is the mind that drives or instructs the body to move, and if I deludedly worry about this car every time it gets damaged due to accident or whatever, then I will have fear and worry that I might die thinking that the car is me. Then I suffer. But because the consciousness is trapped inside, it's slightly different. You will feel the damages and whatever injury that the body suffers. The consciousness is conscious of it. So actually, you can feel it. And that is really feeling it. But in the case of a car, because you are attached to it, you think you own that car. So you worry. In Cantonese, they call samtong, meaning heartache in Cantonese. And you are afflicted. In a similar way, because you think you own that car, then you think you have to come out with the money to pay for its repair and maintenance, etc. So you have this samtong or heartache. In that sense, materialistically, it can cause you unhappiness. But in the case of the car, you are not conscious of the damages that is being inflicted to the car. Whereas for the case of the actual form and mind, the mind which is trapped inside. So like when you receive a cut or an injury, or you harm your own physical body, or you have an accident, you actually feel the pain. The tactile consciousness is really there. You can feel it. But if you understand that it's not you, then you can endure it. And if you need to seek medical attention or treatment, you seek. Hence, no more problem, no more issue. You just go about doing what you have to do. But people who don't have such understanding, they will develop fear and panic. They will cry, they will react because they think this body belongs to them. So in the case of the driver and the car analogy, it's the same. Ability to control and maneuver the car doesn't mean it belongs to you. So when you can see this very clearly, then why can't you see it when it's in your own body and mind? In fact, the analogy of the car and the driver is a very good analogy, which is very close to our form and mind. Because the consciousness that is trapped inside, that give instruction and instruct the body to do all this action and movement, that one is the driver. But when it's the car and the driver, you see the two entities clearly. They are different. The car is a car. The driver is the driver. But because you pay for it in the society, it's like you own. But when the car is damaged, if you are not hurt or harmed, then you don't feel any pain except the mental pain, which is not related to the physical pain. The mental pain is you attached to the car because you thought your car has been damaged and caused you quite a bit to develop the repair or whatever. But if you can see it with mindfulness within your own form and mind, then you will awaken and become different, like what Ng Bee contemplated. Then he realized, if I am the driver, if the driver is heedless, this car will get into trouble. If you don't comply with society's rule or the driving rules, then you are asking for trouble. You can get into trouble or accident anytime. Then when you are full of violent anger under the influence of intoxicant, your behavior can be very, very heedless. And this is what Dhamma is all about. So you see the analogy clearly. You were determined to be heedful. You were determined to train your mind to have mindfulness, to have heedfulness, to have right view, so that you can avoid all the negative tendency that can bring about karmic downfall, karmic negativity that can affect your life and bring about suffering, affliction, and misery. So all this is Dhamma. When you have the awakening or the understanding through reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, all this will change you, transform you, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, so that you will not be foolish anymore from that moment on. You will know how to live life. You will value life. And you will learn to take care of your physical body. The physical body needs rest. You must give it appropriate rest. You cannot overuse it, stress it, like the car. If you don't have proper maintenance, proper servicing, sooner or later, it will worn out. Wear and tear will cause the car or the parts to break down. Because every of these parts has a lifespan. They need sufficient nutrient to replenish their energy. They need what they call like the car. You need to service it to actually make sure it's in all proper running, safe condition. Otherwise, it will break down. If there is any sign of wear and tear, you need to service and repair. You have to do it. Then you need to rest the car. You need to rest the car. Even the tire, you cannot overrun it. The engine part, the engine oil, you need to change. You have to change. That's why our system is similar to the car. The kidney all need rest because it is working very hard throughout the day. Whatever we consume, the liver have to clear the whatever detoxication, the things that are causing harm to the body. The kidney also need to filter off all those things that are bad for the body and discharge it. So if you understand all this, you know how to take the appropriate precaution to look after yourself, give it enough rest, service it, maintain it well, then maybe this form of mind will serve you better, last longer. You will not develop any major sickness or disease through abusing this body. A lot of people become heedless when they have suffering, misery, and problem. They resort to intoxicant. They go and drink, drown their sorrow, they entangle themselves with all the what they call like drugs and other things, which are not conducive for maintaining the heedful living or good life. So all this will lead to heedlessness, and it will bring about downfall, karmic consequences, everything. So Dhamma is to have the wisdom. After we reflect, contemplate, understood, then we change. We have to change for the betterment of our life, for our future, to take care of karma, to follow the advice of the Buddha, so that we will not end up being heedless, deluded, and suffer miserably. So this understanding is what we need. So this aspect of analogy of the car and the driver is easy to understand. The car is the car, you know, the driver is the driver. Then when there is an accident, no need to worry. You have an insurance, claim the insurance. You do what you need to do. No need to argue with people. No need to lament over what happened. No need to blame. Just understand the reality, accept the reality, and move on. Do what you have to do. Resolve things amicably. So this is Dhamma. Then there will be no more of this unnecessary anger, hatred, blaming, unhappiness. So developing all this Dhamma understanding is very important. But then, when it comes to the form and mind, people cannot see the similarity that the physical body is like a car that takes us around. The mind is like a driver that instructs this body to move around. But we can't see. So like the driver, if it's skillful, it is heedful, it will not violate all those, then the car and the driver will become safe. Then they will live the proper life because the driver or the owner will know how to take care of the car, give it enough maintenance, servicing, and proper rest. And whatever that it needs to change, it will change. So it's just like the human body. We need to have enough rest, we rest. We need to exercise, we exercise. We do not overuse it, stress it, and abuse it and create problem until not only wear and tear, it accelerates and damages the physical body. So sometimes you play dangerous sports or subject yourself to heedless driving and activity, or you get yourself entangled with gangsters and trouble people, you will get into big trouble. Your physical body will be subject to a lot of harm and danger, and sometimes even death. So all this understanding we need to develop so that we can contemplate deep into it, then change over for the better, so that we will have the good life. If we have this understanding, we will not be heedless anymore. Then we will transform for the better. This is what Dhamma is, to help change our life, transform our life, so that we can have the good life, the beautiful life, so that we can live life meaningfully, beautifully. We can live life to the fullest, so that we can experience all of the good, wonders and beauties of life. So this is Dhamma helping us to develop such understanding. I will read on. The consciousness that is able to instruct this body to move around and has the ability to control it doesn't mean the consciousness owns it. The body is the body, the mind is the mind, just like the car and the driver. When you see these two as separate entities, then you have the understanding. If you don't take care of the car, if the driver is reckless, like what Ingvi said, red light also you go, then it will get itself into trouble. It will receive summon, etc. Or accident. Then who suffer? Of course, the car does not suffer. The driver suffers because he has to pay the summon. And if he is not careful, and there's an accident, the car also suffer. Then only, not only the driver. So both also suffer. Then when you do that, you can also cause damages and suffering to others. So when you are heedful, so when you understand this, you will be determined to train this mind to be heedful so as not to become heedless or recklessly drive and use this car. Just like how you train your body and mind, you will take care of it, but you will not attach, you will not cling, and you will not abuse this body. Just like how I reflected based on what my teacher taught me. He said, if this body can talk and speak to you, you will be very shy. Because the body will tell you this, O Master, harm me not. For I am only tissue and cells. Have me work for you while I am still capable, young and energetic. Before this body of mine is too weak, too old, too fragile, and too sick to serve you for the benefits of all and others. When you listen to the body telling you this, you will develop the shame. The body also has love and compassion to remind you that this is for you to use. He is willing to serve you, but instead, every time you are unhappy and miserable, you go and drink, and you go and make yourself miserable, then you abuse the body. You go and torment yourself, developing habitual tendency that actually harms and hurts yourself. And you think and think and think the wrong thought until you become so miserable. Then you drink and make yourself drunk. Then the next day, when you wake up, you will get this hangover or morning sickness, etc. So why do you do that to your own body instead of making full use of it through wisdom to serve you for the benefit of all? The car is also the same. It can help you provide service to take you around and to take others around. If you are careful, heedful, and mindful, and you don't violate the traffic rules, then it's just like you keep your precepts. You don't bring about karmic negativity or downfall. You don't hurt or harm others. Then it brings about great benefit to everybody. That's what mindfulness and heedfulness are all about. The Buddha has an analogy under the sutta. He said, one must develop balancing act. He gave the analogy. You can go and read about it. It is in the sutta. It's about developing the balancing act so that you protect yourself and protect others with mindfulness. Otherwise, if you are heedless, then trouble will arise. So all this, the Buddha actually explained it very clearly. Then when you start to understand, you will develop your own contemplative wisdom, then you will see very clearly that this form and mind is actually more or less, but not exactly like the car and the driver analogy. Whereas the true owner is neither the car nor the driver. Sometimes you can hire a driver to drive you around, then the owner, the unseen one, sits at the back, because this owner is not the physical human being. That's why you have to connect to this unseen one, which is your true nature, your true mind. When your driver understands clearly through that wisdom born of that direct seeing, then this driver, which is your mundane mind, is no longer deluded. When this driver is no longer deluded, it will not attach and cling to anything. Then it will know how to live life. It will know how to serve you well. That's why you have to train the mind. That's why the trained mind listens to you. You want it to be silent, it's silent. You want it to be aware, it's aware. It's no longer heedless. It's no longer does all those funny, heedless things of the past. It no longer reacts and become deluded like before. It becomes so beautiful. That's how I think there's some misphrasing. That's how the word tu is not there. You use the form in mind. That word tu, you can delete it. That's how you use the form in mind. The form in mind will become beautiful and it can serve you well. Then life take a turn and become meaningful. That's how the whole Dhamma should be understood. That's why I start by cultivating to develop the initial understanding of who you are and what you are. Then after that, determine to cultivate to develop the wisdom. Then when wisdom arises, your nature will connect to this form in mind. Then you will come to know very clearly that this form in mind is not you. And you need to have this wisdom in order not to be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, so that you will have the wisdom to understand life, to live life. Then you can realize the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, thereby enabling you to live the life of enlightened being. That is how you should cultivate, so that you can develop the ability to awaken this form of mind. Then the third phase of Dhamma, which is the most beautiful part of your life, can become a living reality, even though it is not so real. Arise only from moment to moment, but that phase can be really beautiful. You can connect early, like Sakyamuni Buddha at the age of 35. He still has 45 years of beautiful life after that. So all these are possible. Okay, very good, sadhu. You all should rejoice with what Sister Ng B has gone through. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe I think we stop here. Let's see how much more to go. Oh, okay. Another 1.5 page. Maybe I finish this so that we end at page 50, where there's another question by Sister Chui. Okay. And all this can happen because it has happened to me earlier on. All of a sudden, the understanding just arises. I reflected on the Dhamma that arises. Then later on, I developed my own understanding and was able to come up with my own version of understanding of the truth. Then I can share it differently. It's just like this particular segment of my nature's life, meaning this so-called brother Teo, or this segmented life form in mind that my nature takes to come, has developed a lot of understanding on its own. That's how I can use it to teach and share with you all. Later on, after you had understood my sharing, you can also use it to share and teach others in your own way, just like Hui Ning and me. Hui Ning penetrated this truth, and that's the reason why the two poems mentioned becomes like very revolutionary. It marked the rise of Mahayana. Like it is a spark for the next era of Buddhism. That's why Mahayana flourished after the advent of Hui Ning, because his teaching was very penetrative. Likewise, after I had shared with you all my understanding, which were all recorded and transcribed, you will come to understand them later on. Of course, some of this understanding I have developed them after listening attentively to my earlier teachers sharing. They also had their own understanding. Then because of my unique nature, I can understand whatever they share. I can even go deeper into it and refine it further, then perfected it. After that, I was able to come up with my own understanding, all this new understanding, like the Dhamma regarding the three periods of time, the silent mind, what is sati, who are you, what are you, etc. The understanding are mainly from this line, not from the past. All this understanding, you all will start to have the condition to receive them. With all this Dhamma sharing, they were not only recorded, but also transcribed into books. It's all in the sharing. And all this sharing are very profound because as you deepen your understanding of this Dhamma and sharing, they are very penetrative and are very, sorry, they are very penetrative, and all this understanding in years to come and in the future will benefit a lot of living beings. Similarly, there are a lot of other great beings who can also contribute and help evolve further all this understanding. That's why you start to see how Jai Krishnamurti came in his own unique way, and also Eckhart Tolle. He also came in his unique way to share all this special understanding with the world. Then our sixth patriarch, Hui Ning, also came in his own rather unique way. Then there are many others who will surface in years to come. This era is going to be very unique and very beautiful. What's the time now? Oh, 4:45 already. Okay, just nice. Please pass the mic to Sister Chui. Okay, we stop here. Huh? Page 50. Okay. We will have our next 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Huh? Okay. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Huh? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. We will continue your second session. Second session is meditation reporting.
Brother Theo, good afternoon.
Ah, yeah, Alicia. Yeah.
Brother Theo, Mrs. Theo, and all Kayamitas.
Yeah.
我想学我 Wednesday 的一个 test
啊 good 可以啊啊算的
Wednesday 的时候 sorry I think I have to speak in English because
yeah, okay yeah PG okay. Yeah.
So on Wednesday morning I went to the market very early okay
oh okay
so mindfully, I went and bought the fish and then come back. I want to make the Yong Tau Fu fish paste.
Ah,
you know?
Yeah.
So after that, when I came back, I just leave the thing aside and then I want to do my puja, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, then came my neighbor come and visit. So I did my thing. Was quite late though. Then after that, when I start making the sankhara keep coming. So I know the sankhara somehow I know just quiet, just silent and let things be. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So after that I continue to make the fish paste. I finished making, somehow I don't know how I want to try it out, you know. So I put one into the water and try and see, you know. Then it didn't turn out well, you know. I mean,
for
past many, many years, I haven't really, I mean, I didn't even fail once, you know. And then I was thinking, how should I make it better, huh?
Yeah.
I added salt in it. So that to make the thing, hopefully it turns out better. But it didn't. Mm. It turns out very salty.
Oh, okay.
So after that, I continue to see how to improve the thing. So at the end, I turn it, and then suddenly strike my mind, I can turn it into Thai fish cake.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, add a lot of things, you know, to make the thing less salty. I mean, throughout this entire experience, I know this is a test, and and I didn't really react to it. And
I just
think of how to improve it, and then inner side of me, I keep laughing. Because last week I only share how quiet my mind is.
Yeah.
And this week come the test, you know.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, but inside, you know, whatever happened, there's causes and conditions. So
That is very useful understanding. Yeah.
So I just let things be.
Oh, very good. Subtle.
The whole thing is like, wow, I just observe how this tricky mind works.
That's what cultivation is all about. Let things be. Because whatever happened, we will have this understanding sooner or later. There are causes and conditions behind everything that arise. So you have the faith and the understanding, then this understanding will actually come very frequently. Then you will understand. Like I always say, whatever happened, treat it as part of the way. If you treat it as part of the way, then you will not be affected. Then you will not go and allow the sankhara activity or the mind to create curiosity and become curious. How come like that? How come last time is so different? And now, for whatever reason, the thing has become like that. Like you say, there's a lot of sankhara. But if you allow it to be and just continue with what you do, then all this was settled down. You didn't react to it. You didn't become like affected by it. Then sometimes it's like a test which you could have gone through. Then you realize in the past you have made a lot of these fish paste before and you have never failed. But how come this time it comes like that? So life, cultivation and existence is what nature is all about. Sometimes it show it to you that condition different, things will be different. Then if it come as a test, it will test you in a very different way, so that it can give you the test to show that you are still able to cope. Otherwise you fail the test. When you fail the test, means this mind has not developed enough stability and understanding to allow it to be. Then when you allow it to be, and everything will return to normalcy, then when you understand that there is a lot more joy, then the stability of understanding will allow you to continue your faith to cultivate diligently, sincerely. Then you just have to understand when your neighbor come over. So these are new conditions that has been introduced. You're supposed to do your puja. You didn't finish your puja. Then in between this one come. That's why all this will affect you. But it's okay. Because when you understand that causes and condition is such, thing will be such. So accept that reality. Then continue to develop the understanding and the faith to cultivate diligently. Then if you keep to the Dhamma and remain what we call stable in your understanding of the way and the cultivation, then your faith will persevere. Then your sincerity will persevere. And as long as you continue to diligently continue your religious routine, it will stabilize. Then you will come to understand that all these are just the way things are. Meant to be, will be. Because we live in a conditioned world. Conditioned world has its condition. So we need to reach the stability of understanding to accept the reality of whatever happened within the moment. So that is very good. So after that, what happened? How did the Thai fish paste turn out?
Yeah, it turns out quite okay. They when they taste it, they say, "Hey, okay." Because I told
not
them,
so bad, huh?
I feel the thing. So yeah. So Freddie asked me, "Did you get angry?" I say, "No."
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know.
Means the negativity of my state didn't affect and stir your mind anymore like before. So means the understanding that has the ability to accept those reality, like you say, you still can laugh, even though it didn't turn out well, because thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things really has to be like that. So when you are at peace and you can laugh about it and continue, then things will turn towards the reality of what is, and it will come out beautiful. That's why as cultivator, we will have the understanding. Then your cultivation understanding will stabilize and become different again. Then in future, whatever happens, you will know how to attend to it, accept the reality and move. Then during the cultivation, you just have to let things be silent, everything, and let the sankhara settle down again. And it will settle down. Otherwise, go back to your religious routine and stabilize it. And after that, you come out and go about doing your daily activity again, the daily mindfulness, the daily routine. And all this is what the cultivator will be able to develop understanding. Very good. Then after that, what happened?
After that, I just continue. Actually, I came to understand, Bratio, is you don't need to do anything. Originally, there was nothing there, but just that the condition, there's some condition that causes the sankhara arise.
I just silent.
And then after that, it will be returned to the natural state.
Normalcy.
And even because it has been, you know, it's like maybe half an hour work that I really drag up to, you know, don't know how long, but I'm fully aware. And then the funny thing is, actually, I feel my body very pain, you know, but that moment, no, nothing, you know, it's just
to
do just whatever need to be done. Then so I really find it very wonderful.
Very good. You can go through all this.
Yeah, but it's just like every now and then I have all the experience to show me the true Dharma, you know. It's like
so
every moment to moment.
Yeah, this is very beautiful. Yeah. So with this understanding, you will be able to progress further so that you are not caught. Most people cannot pass the test. So somehow the mind is curious. The mind wants to know. And the mind will start to develop the dislike or unhappiness. How come last time I can do it, now I cannot do it? So most cultivators are caught during those transitional changes that happen during cultivation. And even very experienced and advanced cultivator, they also experience such fluctuation in mind states and life experiences as they develop all this cultivation, because the mind has its own movement. The mind has its own what they call condition. Then that nature need to go through all this to develop the what we call very, very elaborate type of experience. When it comes to cultivation, many things will happen. Many situations will unfold. then the cultivator become different because of all this exposure, all this experience and understanding. Then you will develop more and more understanding. And if you are able to pass all this, then in future, the test will be in a different form. Then you will have to maybe continue with the cultivation until your mind can relax more, silent more, and go into that nature deeper and deeper until that nature becomes very stable. And then you experience a different phase of transformation. So during that time, other things will happen. Sometimes things that you haven't gone through, they will surface. That's why I said the cultivation is unique and unending in the sense that everyone is different. And every moment, every instant, every condition, they are all very different. So Dhamma has its own beauty. That's why you say when you understand, when you don't react to it, when you are not affected by it, it becomes like very amazing, very beautiful. So very good. Sadhu to you. Anything else?
Yeah. 还有一个 experience, 当我驾车去 PJ 的时候，然后on the way when I go up to the Jalan Gasing Highway, there was this car stopped quite near me. So I mean, my awareness is like something like, you know, I know how the distance, you know, is like the car and the awareness move as one.
Then
I slowly brake, and then, you know, it's like how the subtle fear like want to come out from the heart area. And the strange thing is, I don't know why the thing like very hard to pull out, like then, but you know, it's like, wow. It's like you 很痛啊, like 很难拉出来, experience that one, you know, maybe Virgil 可以 explain 一下吗?
可以，你再 explain the 过程,
okay,
you say when you were driving, then there is a car, isn't it?
Yes. It's like almost towards the traffic light. So
okay.
First it started from I go up to Jalan Gasing, then Jalan Gasing, then there's a traffic light in front. Okay,
yeah.
So the traffic light is turning yellow. But my car is so fast that I have to pass through the traffic light. So when I pass through, then the way say camera. So the little Sankara start to I was aware of that.
Want to have all those reaction ready,
yes.
Because when somebody say police or camera or speed trap, then the usual habitual tendency tend to move. But in this case, yours is different, isn't it? Can you describe what happened?
Yes. So when the aware that the say our camera ahead, okay, red light camera ahead, okay. So then I really know halfway in the road already passed.
Then
I go further in front. There's another traffic light, right? So
yes.
Because the traffic is quite heavy. So when I just go in front, this car suddenly like just brake.
Yeah.
And then but I know how. You know, somehow I know the distance is I can go through.
Yeah, in time.
Break,
in time to break.
So when I break, suddenly I feel the heart area like, I call it like want to pull out a cow like that. You know, so hard to pull out.
Pull out what?
I 好像要拉一头牛这样很难拉出来的，你知道那个感觉，你知道，我的感觉是，它要升起那个什么一个感觉这样哦。 很难拉，
压了拉不出来，
拉不出来这样子。
啊、
so then after that 他就沉下去，
yeah,
他就怎样了？就、I was like so amazed, you how come?
Yeah, yeah. But 你你 mentioned early on, like the awareness and the car is one.
Yes, yes, yes.、
So 那个是 before you cross the light or after you cross the light?
After I cross the light.
Means before approaching the other side, before、
yes.
the nature tell you there is a camera and all those things.
No, the camera one is, I already aware that before that.
Oh,
before
that.
That、then, but、
okay.
after that, when I go up, then as I, how to say, 就是我一爬上去一过了那个 traffic light 之后是吗、然后我就 aware 到前面的车就很长龙这样排长龙这样嘛，
我知道，
然后我就我的 awareness 就跟那个车一起 move 这样、but somehow
then,
我
then 它 break 是吗前面
他前面他 break, 然后我也轻轻的踏我的 break, 因为我
知道你也 very confident you can do it, you can make it.
Yes, yes.
Then
yes.
你要拉那个什么出来是 after 他有什么东西 anything to make you go and like want to pull
it. 就是 after 我过了那个东西。过了那个就是我 break 了之后我就、就是 like you know 就是 continue to drive like that、but when that moment I can feel my heart area that's like wow you want to arise something but it's so difficult but I can't tell what is that but I can feel the sensation of the pain from my heart area something like that but I
okay maybe 你下次如果还有机会经过这个过程啊 or this type of condition you try to develop the awareness to relax into it and see how because you mentioned you try to pull out but it's like very difficult and there is pain isn't it是不是 like painful inside there?
Yes, it's like it's like a pain inside, you know. But
你用华语，你用华语 describe better.
它就是一个感觉哈、哦，好像、我明白的是应该要 arise 那个 subtle fear. But 它就是。这样子一直上来你感觉到很痛这样子在那个 high area 这样子
Yeah, but 你为什么要去拉它出来
不是我要去拉它是因为它就是一个感觉
你感觉到它不能够出来啦
啊对就是它跟我那个车的踩 brake 的 moment 一过了之后上那个感觉就是你那个感觉跟那个车的讲讲就是那个 movement 是一起这样然后它就是有一个感觉出来我讲不出来、
oh, okay.
就 it's like
我知道我知道
yeah it's like a
OK
I think to me
如果是 that condition then maybe it's something good because like you say as you pass through the traffic light thenThe awareness and the thing is one, then you break. Then when you break, the sankhara, that condition, the fear because of the earlier word camera, that fear or the emotion which try to come out become like incapable of coming out. So if that is the case, that is something very good. Means that nature already understood. But the pain that you feel, I don't know, I find it a bit contradicting. Well, normally this type of thing, there is no pain involved. That's why I say you have the condition to go through again. You remember to just let things be and be with it. Then you see how. When you are with it, then everything will be the way it is. even if it's a sankhara or a fear or whatever, that thing will dissolve. That thing will dissolve. Because the awareness is not a thought process. The awareness is just that nature. When it's with it, whatever that is dependent originating will dissolve in it. It will not move. But in your case, you say it cannot come out, which is very good. But the other thing that you experience is the pain. And the pain is not something that will happen. Maybe there is some exertion or what, I don't know. So normally it doesn't happen. Or unless your heart area, maybe you experience something. That also could be the reason. So anyway, it's something good.
Yeah. 一个升起，一个下去这样子罢了。只是他的感觉是，anyway, it's okay, brother. I'm just letting it be because whatever will be, will be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 你要了解他罢了啦. So the explanation and the understanding, the two are less important. More important is whatever happened. Develop the awareness to be with it, that's it. Because most of the time when you are aware, the things stop. Like sometimes on it's about to rain. It's about to rain. And suddenly the thunder will be very loud. And most people are caught unaware. Then the thunder, most people, if they are outside, they will know. They see the light. First, the lightning. The light travel faster than sound wave a lot. So normally you see the flash of light first. Means the lightning has struck actually. Then the sound take a longer time to reach you. Then by the time you hear the sound, you can see the light outside. Then you are prepared for it. Then it doesn't move your heart area. But sometimes if you are inside the house, there is strike very strong. So it depends on your awareness nature stability. If your awareness nature stability is very stable, then whatever happens, strike, it was just aware, stop, the thing just stopped. But sometimes your awareness nature is not stable. I remember in the early day, it suddenly strike, means the sound came, but I didn't see the light where I'm inside the house or inside somewhere. Sometimes even in our retreat or what you will know, in the meditation retreat, I will say, sometimes as I delivered the talk or what, the thunder, oh, very loud, very, very loud. Then that time when I hear it, well, my nature is already stable, then it doesn't affect me. But in the early days, before my nature stabilized, I remember in that instant when the thing come, because the heart area is the unknown. You don't know what this thing is. So the mundane mind react to it straight away, very fast. But the moment I am aware of that, I stay there, it ceases. So that is the earlier day when the awareness nature haven't stabilized. So that what they call fear of the unknown, which is part of the mundane mind, they will still happen. But for that moment only, then after that, the awareness come back. Then when the awareness come back, it's the unisop manasikara that understand. These are mind state, dependent originating, nothing to do with your nature. That sankara movement of fear is dependent originating. Then you will know. Then it is. Then it will continue. But later on, when your nature is stable, no matter what happens, how loud that thing is, your awareness and the thing pop go to the heart there and it stop there. Then I can continue to share whatever. Then sometimes I will just smile. Then I will continue with my sharing or whatever. Then sometimes I may know that it's coming. The nature will know. Then it preempt. Then it will happen. So a lot of these things you will go through, you will experience. Then you will understand. So in your this particular case, like I explained just now, you just remember to relax and be aware. Stay with the awareness. Then things will just be the way it is. It will just cease. That's why later on you will come to know how the whatever mental hindrance will no longer arise anymore. Or all those mind states. But initially is you come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Then you continue to silence and it ceases. Then you come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then as you stabilize your awareness nature and understand all this, then one day you will come to know whatever test, whatever, how fast the thing may be, that wisdom, that uniso manasika, the awareness, stability, and the understanding is already there. Then you know in the future, there will be no more arising of all this sankara or mental hindrance, mind state, and all those things. So all this, you will come to experience them and you will go through them. That's why it's very amazing, very beautiful. Okay, Alicia. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Brother P.
Yeah, Sadhu. Hi, Sabo.
Matthew, 我的 sharing 全部都在厨房的，所以
beauty, it's okay. Well, your way is now more towards your daily career and daily activity, your duty as a mother, your duty as a wife, and your duty as a family member and all those things. So all this is what you will go through because your Dhamma has allowed you to have this ability to move into the daily activity of existence, which it involves life itself, the whole movement. And most of your activities, I think either at home or at the farm, or doing something that is related to life. So it's okay. Then you have your religious routine too when you are at home and you know how to do all those things. So this is what your particular way of cultivation will manifest. And you will share based on that. Then later on, maybe it will change again as other things happen and you develop more understanding. Then you may move again. So your life will move to another phase after that. Maybe in another 5 years or one later, then you may move into another phase to do other things. Now you still have the energy, the strength to actually do all these things. Later on, maybe you will pass it over to your daughter-in-law or whatever, they will take over. Then you will move on to another phase. So all these are possible and it can happen.
Yeah, but you actually said that because I can see slowly the thing like you know, like it moves towards like, you know, it's like automatic adjustment like that.
Yeah.
It's like very wonderful. Like, despite it's like a Dhamma it show it to me every now and then in my daily activities, you know. So I find it it's really wonderful because like that day I experienced when I get hold of the hot the hot pot, the pot which is very hot lah. So I hold it, and then when I hold it, I can see how my mind turns into like means I will hold 那个.
热的我的时候，然后我的
feeling condition，
我的
content
啊，对，然后我的
content of consciousness， 啊，对，我的 speech 出来是 ，oh shit， I was
like，because the awareness is there， 嗯，that's why you will come to know how the senses function， 嗯，because that thing will travel through you， 嗯，then you know it's hot。 Really hot, then you just have to experience it, go through it. Then you know next time, if you hold it longer, it will burn you. It will start to have an effect on you. That's why your inside, you will still have that type of sankara that is like habitual, shit. So it is very normal, very normal. Even for me, sometimes I also experience that, like something went through, then the awareness, aware new, then the habitual tendency will come up. Oh shit. So all this is possible. You will experience that you will go, but you will come to know. Then next time when you want to like hold all this type of thing, you actually can experience it in a different way. Because I remember in the younger days, when I was doing the cultivation, so I remember there were a few occasions when I was on this retreat and spiritual trip. So there is one place I remember, I think it's what they call, it's like high up on top of a higher ground where they build, what do they call it? They build like a platform and all those things. Then there is a Buddha image and all those things at the building in front. But the flat platform, you have to walk across. So that one is normally tiles or concrete or what they call, in the afternoon, it can be very hot, very hot. So if you were to walk on it normal, you will know it's going to burn you and it's going to be very, very severe. But because I have that awareness and the mindfulness, then I know how to move. I know how to move fast. So because of that, I try it, but don't go and do it very often. Because when it's time for you to try, then it's okay, you try. Because I was able to like mindfully, continuous mindfulness, I just walk away. Then I know. I don't have to hurry actually. I can just move. Then if I need to move faster, I will move faster. Because that mindfulness actually protected me. So as long as I'm aware for that duration, that it will not like harm me or hurt me. It will cause some sensation. And I know it's relative. But you put there longer, it is going to like burn you up. So I know. Then I realize if I move with the awareness, tolerable, then I can reach the other side where there is shade and I can rest there. I remember I tested it a few times, but on different occasions. Then after that, later on, when I have the understanding already, I try not to do it because as you age, you are no longer what you are. Before you age, you're very agile. But as you age, especially above 60, be careful. Right? My father also cautioned me last time. Your leg, you will have weakness in your leg. Means the muscle of your leg is no longer like before. So sometimes if you are not careful, if you come down from the bus, if you move too fast, when you hit the last step and go down from the bus, you may just like your leg loses strength and stability and you will fall. But because I know how to fall, so two or three times I actually didn't get hurt or nothing much. Then after that, I become very careful. I no longer wants to become a hero anymore. Well, when I was young, all these are no problem when I can do it. And I do it with joy. But later on, I remember after the age of 60 plus, this thing is dangerous, dangerous. So that's why nowadays, coming to 68, nowadays I go down bus or go downstairs or go upstairs. I prefer to hold the railing because it's safer. Otherwise, you're not careful, you will get into trouble. Then the leg muscle is no longer like before. You cannot predict it anymore. It will lose its strength by itself for that short instant only. Then after that, you're okay again. That is part of aging. Then as you go through life, as you experience old age, you will experience a lot more things. Then like now my teeth, I lucky still all my teeth are real teeth. I don't have to change any. Then I only pull off two of my wisdom too many years back. Then recently, after about 11 to 12 years, I didn't go to the dentist already. And suddenly I sensed something that my teeth were not like last time, where I can eat with like normal. That I can feel something not right, so I decided to see the dentist. So I went to my dentist. That one was my uni mate. We stay in the same college, Dr. Yong. So he checked and he told me, he said you got three teeth that need filling, got cavity and all those things. So he said, you have to come back again, he said. So he did some x-ray and check everything for me. And after that, he explained to me. He said, not bad for you. You sense it on here. You take cold drink or whatever, you can feel it's not normal already. Like you cannot tolerate that ice or that cold ice cream anymore, like normal. Then you come. He said, most people don't care until toothache only they come on. So you can wait till toothache only you go. But I tell you, that one is dangerous and expensive. He said, luckily you come early. He said, can still do the filling housing. Then he said, there is one teeth where the filling is very near the nerve. Well, through the x-ray, he can see. So luckily, I think I went back two times. So total three visits. He did all the filling for me. So after that, I feel better. Then he told me, first week, you will sure have some sensations still. But after the first week, going into second week, you will feel more normal. So now it's already 1 week, I think. Just past 1 week. So looks like things are returning to normalcy. So all this, you have to go through an experience. Then, of course, your eyesight. Eyesight, I think, those who are young, they may still happy-go-lucky. But as you age, you will come to realize your eyesight is no longer like last time. Near thing, like handphone or something. You find it very difficult to read already, very small, the words that are just, so I need to put on the glasses. But I was lucky because my power is very low. My power is very low. So I can still actually read and see, but not so clear as last time already. And what happened was I am quite sensitive because of my awareness and honesty. So when I need to exercise my eye, I will know that I will do the eye exercise, that it helps me. Then it makes my eye accommodative again. Then nowadays, the last few years, I think after the age of 60, I think the last 7 or 8 years, I make it a point to use reading glass. So actually I have 3 ranges of glass. One is for reading nearby, close. The other one is to view the computer when I am using the computer, the desktop and all those things. And the other one is for driving, But the good thing about my eyesight is because the power is low, so even without spec, I can still see relatively clear, but I will have astigmatism problem because both my eye has astigmatism problems since I was at the age of 4-5, I think, 1971. I went for medical checkup. Then the doctor told me the optometrist, he checked, then he said, you have this astigmatism. But luckily, the eye specialist was good. So he taught me the eye exercise. And when I was having my exam in 4-5, I didn't know. It becomes so bad, the astigmatism, until when I went in to sit for a paper, if it's 1 hour paper, after 40 minutes, the eye become like very painful, the optic nerve at the back. I didn't know it was astigmatism, but because that time I was very well prepared for the exam and I know what to do. So I rested for, every time it's very painful, I rested for 2-3 minutes. Then I put on the eye drop. My father gave me that eye drop, very good, soothing one. Then after the exam, I told my father, is it something not right? We need to go and check it out. So he said, go. So I check it out with an optometrist, and he told me astigmatism. So I said, how? He said, make glasses. Then he said, apart from making glasses, I said, who else can I consult? But then he recommended me a very good specialist. Actually, he's a doctor in Penang. Very famous one. Those who have eye problem at that time during the 70s, they go and see him. So I make that trip down with my father. Then he confirmed. He gave me the formula to do the eye exercise and all those things. Then explained to me about my astigmatism. Then he said, you go to the optometrist, you tell him, make sure they do this, the reading that he got for me. And after that, wear it for a while, is it? Then you will recover. So because of that, I recovered. That's why that doctor was very good. So sometimes it's karma, meant to be with me. So a lot of things in life, we need to experience. We need to go through. That's why for your case, Alicia, you will go through the changing phase. You are, I think, a few years younger than me, but you are still able to do your cooking and all those things, which is a good sign. And the kitchen and the farm and all those things, actually not easy. But for you, you have the good determination. The mind stayed very strong. And you can have the what they call understanding to sacrifice and do for your children. So all this understanding has helped you. So salute to you. Very good. That's why all these phases you will move through. Then later on, be more and more aware of your physical, because body is just a body. As you age, you go through, you will experience many more things. One thing good is, I think after I went to the angel last day, I think 19, oh sorry, the year 2013, so coming to 8 years already. That time, I start to experience what the what they call the heart failure and all those things, like the ECG test that detected the angina. The first time the sign came and he actually attacked me. And that time, actually, according to the doctor, I had a heart attack. That's why 3 months before that, my nature told me I have to go and check. I say, what for? I'm okay. Then 3 months later, the sign came. Then I went and have a check. Then I went through that phase. I didn't know it was a heart attack until I was at the hospital, self-admit. Then I feel much better when I reach there, where they straight away take the ECG and check me. Then I know how to relax. I know how to maintain. And then I feel I can go back already. Where it's almost New Year time, I remember. Then the doctor said, no, you have to stay in at least 4 days, 3 nights. I said, why? He said, did you know that you had a heart attack just now? Then he showed me the ECG. Oh, I said, this is heart attack. I don't know. Then later on, after I went through the operation, I was very, very aware and mindful. And because of that, the whole process of that operation, I was not on anesthesia. It was 2 hours plus. It's actually not easy to endure where the operation room is cold and my body. When it's cold, I can't. So, but luckily, my mind is strong, so I can endure. So I went through and I know. Then I can understand what that life force thing meant and all that. But after the operation, I was so exhausted. Because he said, you cannot have any food after the night before. I had to go on fasting. Then supposed to be morning operation, somehow delay until 2 something to 3. Then when I went in, the 1.5 hour or 1 hour plus a bit tired operation ended up 2 hour plus. So almost 6 or 6 something. And when I came out, I was really exhausted. Then actually my mind shut down for a while. But luckily my wife was there, so she shouted and heard the thing. Then after that, I regained consciousness. I said, it's okay, it's okay, I need to rest. I said, take me to the bed. Then I asked for the Milo drink now, where I need drinks, I need nutrition thing. Somehow they didn't manage to get it until that thing happened. Then the doctor panic, I think she go and the doctor on call and make 1 glass of Milo for me, I think on her own. Then after I had that drink, I regained my nutritional strength. That's how I experienced all this. Then this life force thing, you can feel them. When they become weak, my nature will know. Then there is nothing to fear. You will go through all this. That's why as you develop this mindfulness, awareness, this cultivation, you will understand all this. As you go through all the phases of life, which is very beautiful. So these are the experience that cultivator can develop the understanding. Then we can share. Because I realize this topic of old age, sickness, death, very few people understand. Actually, death is nothing wrong, just the consciousness, they leave the physical body. When I was young, the consciousness went out before then, I understood all this. Then, even the life force becoming like very weak and all those things, then you know it's very eerie. Because after I was married, I think, I was married in 1980. I went through one also life-threatening experience. Also, Kuan Yin helped me. Because that time I can feel it was very eerie, associated with death. That time I was still very young, but I knew. That's why I was aware. Then somehow, everything fall into place. I have the doctor who was so confident, gave me the medication. You can still go. That time I was supposed to go to Indonesia, Lake Toba, with my wife and classmate, honeymoon. So all this meant to be. Then when I was in Indonesia, I see the Indonesian doctor. I remember two doctors, or I did not take his medicine because of the way the condition is. Then I know it's very eerie. So I lasted through the few days, but not painful or nothing. But your awareness, Neo, is associated with death. So immediately I came back, fly back to Penang. I drove back to Alostha, supposed to go to my father's house, but I immediately self-admit to Alostha Hospital because I knew that time my three classmates were housemen in Alostha Hospital. So when they saw me, they were shocked and said, "Hey, Ken Kun, what are you doing here?" I said, "I don't know, you have to check me out." So luckily, I was admitted there for 5 days. They checked me out. Then they say on the fourth day, they say, "We don't know what to do with you already." I say, after 4 days, if your pain don't go away, the eerie one, we also don't know what to do with you. Then luckily, miraculously, that night, the fourth night, it disappeared. Then the next morning, they say, "Oh, good news, we can discharge you." They check my urinary tract. In fact, at first, they thought kidney, UTI, urinary tract infection. They check, oh, none, nothing. Then they discharge me. Then I luckily, I had to drive back all the way from Alostha to Vijaya. That time I haven't recovered, still very weak. But my father gave me the power sum, very good. That one helped. Then my brother asked another driver to follow me just in case. That's why I was very grateful. Then when I reached PJ, somehow Kuan Yin came and actually helped me. Then somehow, one of the night, when I woke up middle of the night, there were a lot of this very thick, like shell type of scale in my heart area. Then that time, middle of the night, I don't know what else it so hard. So I pulled them out. I think easily 10 to 11 pieces. Then I just flush it out into the toilet. I should have kept it. Scale formed my heart area there. What a hole, I think about 6-inch wide diameter. Then later on I came to know actually the internal, the nature, the thing, it like 打出来, 爬出来. Until this whole thing come up, then not supposed to die means you won't die. Then later on, I came to know it was Kuan Yin. Otherwise, I cannot survive that type of thing. I actually had a very severe type of disease that is associated with death, I think. A lot of people that die at the age of 30, 30 something, they had this, I don't know, they call it typhoid or what. Eat wrong thing and then the thing manifests inside. Then a lot of people treat it like a normal stomach ache or what. Actually, it's typhoid. Then finally, they succumb, they die. But I was lucky. I survived. And that whole thing was almost 3 months. until finally that thing came out, and I recovered. So that's why there were three occasions, I remember. So all these are for sharing. Hopefully it helps. Then for Alicia's case, very good. Sadhu, you will continue to go through all this and experience all this. Anything else, Alicia?
No, that's all I wrote to you. But every day there's a different kind of experience that open my, how to say, my horizon, as you say. Getting
for you to experience life, experience the cultivation. In fact, this space is the most beautiful, because when you have the Dhamma, you go to the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, to experience all of the beauty, pristine beauty and wonders of life, that everything becomes so meaningful, so beautiful, so pristine, and everything is like for you to develop further understanding, further like exposure to the cultivation, to life, to existence, to the conditioned world, to understand life deep in a very different way. Then you will link to civilization, link to all the what they call evolution of the human consciousness, and also all the understanding that we can have. That's why we go through this golden era, which is very rare and very unique. In fact, our last 6 to 7 decades is a great window, a great transformation for mankind. From the 50s to the 60s, we are still very primitive. Then in the 70s, things start to improve. Then 80s, you see the big movement of computers and IT. Or then 90, 2000, or now 2010, 2020, then we are moving into the 2020 plus, coming to 2030. So this 7th decade of transformation, we can see a lot of changes, a lot of what they call evolution of the life process, where we get to experience so much of this unique experience that we normally cannot find. You look back on the civilization, the last 5,000 over years, actually we hardly progressed. The world was still very primitive. But the last 6-7 decades was fantastic, beyond our wildest imagination. Things can be like that. This is a real golden era. That's why my nature appreciates. And there's a lot of joy. And my nature like to come during transition period. That is my understanding from my nature. And it like to come during this era to experience life, to go through life, to fulfill whatever vows and all those things that it wants. But this is what it has developed as understanding for it to come. And when you can come during this period, this era is the most beautiful. That's why I can live life to the fullest, develop all the understanding, the joy to go through all these marvels of transformation of civilization, evolution of consciousness, and experience all this. And so these are beautiful. Okay, so we should thank Alicia for the good sharing too today. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.